Where's Mr. DeGale? Mr. DeGale, Pablo, where are you? There you are. Come on up here, man. Paul DeGale. Woo! You have no idea why you're up here, huh?
No idea.
That's good, okay. That's cool.
Candy camera.
You're up here because Hebrews 6:10 says, "For God is not unjust." For God is not unjust. "So as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints." Paul's been serving the young people here for, 5 years now?
About that.
And he's just come to the end of it. He's just said, "The Lord's calling me on to do some other things." So he's going to end his time with youth ministry. You did your last time with them when?
Around the first of the year.
Yeah. So we know you haven't done it for recognition, but we want to recognize you. It's so weird, but they're just little concrete things. It's cool. It says, "Faith Worship Community recognizes Paul DeGale in appreciation for your years of faithful service guiding our youth." My daughter was a part of that. So, "For guiding our youth in worship, teaching them the word of God, and caring for our community." It says, "We thank you from our hearts and ask our Lord for his blessing on you." So, there you go, man. Elders, can we get the elders up here? Let's pray this man out of his term of service. Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing Paul to us. Thank you for commissioning him, for putting your heart in him, for putting your words in his mouth, for making him your face to our youth. We ask now your blessing on him. Remember him for good, for his faithfulness, the way he's been in season and out of season, the way he has stood, the way he's been an example. Remember him, Lord. Pray that now you would relieve him of responsibility for the youth, that you would take that weight off of him. Pray that you would smile on him and favor him and speak your words of approval to him for his term of service. We pray that you'd open up paths in front of him to bless him, bring him into some new expression of what you'd have for your kingdom. Pray your favor on him. And Paul, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and on behalf of his church, we bless you with favor, with the Lord's positive hand on your actions, establishing your steps in your heart. We relieve you from the responsibility of ministering to the youth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good job, Dad. Good job.
Cool. Yeah, pray for me now. I need it. Thank you. Okay. Well, coffee fixes everything. Coffee, it's God's drug. sad. What's that?
Unless you're Mormon.
I'm not going to make any. Don't set me up like that, brother. That's not fair. Because
I have to exercise self-control in the sermon. I don't like doing that. I found myself increasingly Luddite recently. Okay, Danny's going. What's a Luddite? Yeah, that's it. Luddite is a protester against technology who doesn't want to change. But anyway, I don't mind changing, you know, socks. But I'm allergic to technology somehow. And I think technology has trained me to be so, because I've had this complex and antagonistic relationship with technology for a long time. I don't think it's going to get any better because technology won't be humble. But I was walking into the class that I teach on religion and social justice, which is problematic in and of itself. But the professor before me was walking out, and he's going, oh, that AV unit. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't use it. That's okay. Get done with my class. The professor comes in. He goes, did you get the AV unit to work? I'm like, no. I use a marker. It always works. It doesn't need batteries. I don't have to boot it up, anything like that. The marker, it stands by me. Very rarely do my markers fail me, and I appreciate that. And I try to pass this disposition toward technology onto my students, and they resist. So I require them to print their papers and to hand in physical objects to me upon which I can mark. I like that. You know? Can I submit it electronically? No, you may not. You have to negotiate all the way to the end of the process and come up with something physical that has characters on it that I read like a book. You can't Kindle it to me. You can't. And my point was reinforced. Get this little notice yesterday, right, from actually I think it was Friday, from the head of IT at Vanguard. An email from him saying, due to difficulties with our Moodle system, Moodle will be down for an emergency reboot. And I just wanted to send an email university-wide saying, told you so. Because the students are like, will you put it on? No, I'm not going to put it on Moodle. I handed you a physical syllabus. I killed trees for that. And I want you to read it and mark it and take it and hold it in your hands. And then when Moodle goes, you can still negotiate your way through the calendar and the course, and it makes me feel much better. Like when someone who because technology opposes you at times, and it thinks that it's better than you. Yeah. Someone who shall remain nameless was texting me and said, kiss you. I'm like, two minutes later, I hate autocorrect. I meant miss you. I'm relieved. I tried to write, I'm relieved, and it said, I believed. You know, it's terrible. But most people have smartphones. I find them to be smart aleck phones. That's why I have a BlackBerry for a reason. Because it has physical buttons. And I can actually go, no, you're going to say T. It still thinks it autocorrect. Autocorrect? Anybody? Lame? What? Lame? Lame. I spent a half an hour arguing with my BlackBerry that ID is short for identification. Capital I, capital E. It doesn't mean I'd. I'm sorry, I don't have an ID. I don't have a phone, ID. I don't have a caller, ID.
That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say ID. I don't have a caller identification for you. Who's texting? Right? And sometimes you want to reach inside the thing and make it comply. Do what I... Why aren't there... Not on a BlackBerry. Not on a BlackBerry. Actually, I found a setting that was inside of a setting inside of a setting that I could change that. Yeah, which really helped me. I would have preferred to flip pages to find it. That's why God made erasers. It's brutal. It's brutal. But I didn't tell you that I set my computer on fire, did you? It was an accident, okay? Not on purpose. Laptop, candle, set it down and went, oh, that's too close to the candle. I pull it back. Got it to do something else, set it down. Oh, that's too close to the candle. Got it. Moved it, went away, came back. I was right. I set my laptop on fire. So now I have a new laptop, and it has a touch screen. And in some ways, although I hate that technology, it's relieving. Because I do like to be able to touch it and go, no, right here, here. Because it jumps, and it does things that you don't want it to do. Has anybody ever tried to paginate a large document with multiple chapters? Lord, help you. That will try your Christian faith. Yeah, you thought Romans and lions were bad. Pagination in Microsoft Word is worse. I almost set it on fire on purpose on those. Because it says, oh, you know, you want to paginate from here down? Obviously, you want to change everything before here. No, I want to here, right there. Because there's this complex, unlike a pen, which you write, it does what you make it do. With a computer, there's this interface where it has to recognize and then execute, recognize and perform the things that you're trying to tell it to do. And sometimes it's got disorder, and it thinks that it knows what you want when it doesn't really know what you want. And it causes problems. I had this one thing with printing. It would endlessly spool. What spooling is? I was trying to read from it to the printer, and it would just say, spooling. I come back, spooling. Still working. I print the paper. So I would say, finished. I walked it over to the printer. I said, do you see anything in this tray? You're not finished. You haven't given me my paper yet. Start it again. Spooling. On and on and on. I could have carved it in stone by the time I got that. And then it had lines down my face. Getting from, that's why I love seeing articles about 3D printing. 3D printing, where I read an article that in China they 3D printed a house. A house, this massive 3D printer. Because the idea that somehow it was just a concept and it actually got all the way to done, physically done, is wonderful for me. It's satisfying to see that process actually take place. Because so many times it goes astray and awry on me. And so I like to see something actually happen that fulfills the intentions of its maker. If you have a Bible, please, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. See, the issue that I have with technology is the drivers and the hardware and the software sometimes, because of their configuration, thwart compliance with my wishes. Because somehow the software and the hardware thinks that it knows what I want,
Or it thinks, oh, you shouldn't really do that. You should do it this way. Don't do it that way. Do it this way. I didn't want to use Times New Roman. I wanted to use Georgia or Palatine. No, Times. Don't change it halfway through. I didn't tell you to do it that way. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I can get there. See, there's physical pages. I like these. But you can't do this. I keep trying. Oh, that works. See, I can just go like this. It helps. Sorry. So God has told Saul the king, to wipe out the other army. And he's chosen, and to destroy everything. Just no. I don't want any of it around here. It's a little bit, think of biologically contaminated material. No, you don't just leave a little bit of it around. You got to deal with the whole thing. And it's a spiritually contaminated situation. And Saul doesn't do it. He keeps some of the sheep and some of the goodies, and oh, the king for ransom. Says verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I regret that I have made Saul king. Boy, wouldn't you hate if the Lord ever said that about the position he put you into? I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not carried out my command. See, Saul is the printer who just won't do it that way. He's Siri on steroids. It's like King Siri. Please take me to Roscoe's. Blastones. Roscoe's. Blarstones. You said you want to go to Barstow. Roscoe's, please. Chicken and waffles. Happening. Awful. Bob's Falafel. It just won't do it the way it's supposed to. And that's Saul. He thinks he knows. Look down at verse 20. Actually, start at 17. Samuel said, is it not true that you were little in your own eyes? You were made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but rushed upon the spoil and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord? Then Saul said to Samuel, spooling, finished. He says, I did obey the voice of the Lord and went on the mission on which the Lord sent me and have brought back Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Some of the people took some of the spoil, the sheep, and ox, and the choices of the things, you know. Samuel said, has the Lord, verse 22, as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you've rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected you from being king. Done deal. He says, don't think that print. Oh, I printed something else. You know, I know you said you wanted your term paper, but I put the first two chapters of War and Peace. You didn't print what I told you. I did. I printed. Finished. No, didn't do the job you're supposed to do. Obey. And we've got this thing in our heads. We are God's hardware. We are God's software. And somehow he says, you know, I really would like you to do this. And you say, I think it should be done this way. I've got a better idea of how the Lord's will should be accomplished. I'm going to make my suggestion and just reinterpret the Lord through my matrix and come up with my own solution. I was going,
go to Roscoe's.
Barstow. His phone just started talking. I loved it. He was doing an imitation of me. That's awesome. We don't really care much for the idea of obedience. It rankles on us. But obedience is critical. It is central to being a Christian. We like to have the idea that we see what's healthy or good or morally appropriate or beneficial, and then we make decisions about how to put that into effect. We make that happen. We like to be given the principles, and then we flesh them out. And it bothers us a little bit when it's just simply obedience. But I want it to be from me. Sometimes it doesn't have to be from you. Sometimes it can be compliance. That's not bad to comply. And when the Lord, sometimes the Lord says, I want you to do this just because I want you to do it. But it doesn't make sense. But that's why I want you to do it, because it doesn't make sense to you. I want you to learn to do something that doesn't make sense, because then you learn it doesn't have to make sense to you. Printer, I don't be an editor. Just be a printer. Just print what I tell you to print. Don't edit it. I'm an editor. I can do that. But I think, that's all you got to do. We keep thinking we have to add the opinion.
We have to do the interpretation.
And God says, you know, I'd love some naive obedience every once in a while. Just absolutely uninformed, blind obedience. I'd love blind obedience. Like, don't eat the fruit.
Well, it looks good to me to eat.
But don't eat the fruit.
It'll make me wise.
Don't eat the fruit.
It's just a fruit.
Don't eat the...
I'm naked.
Did you eat the fruit?
I'm really naked.
You ate the fruit, didn't you?
Turn over, if you would, to Numbers. Sorry. Welcome to the world inside of my head. This is what happens when I read the Bible. I don't need the animated version. Numbers chapter 20, very familiar story. Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. The Lord speaking to Moses and Aaron. Bless you. Take the rod. You and your brother Aaron, assemble the congregation and speak to the rock before their eyes that it may yield its water. You shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock and let the congregation and their beasts drink. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, so far so good, just as he had commanded him, so far so good. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand and beat the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and the beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, may I see you in my office? The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have been given them. Interesting, he says, because you didn't believe me to treat me as holy. Now that wasn't really part of the conversation, was it? But see, the tangible actions are like the printer. They make the intangible tangible. They make the principle, the idea, concrete. He says, talk to the rock just like I told you. Take the rod, take the congregation, go talk to the rock just like I told you. When you do it just like I told you, that means you believe me and you think I'm holy. It takes these abstract concepts, and the term is reify. You guys know the term reify? Think of the term real. Okay? Reify means to make something solid into stone, to reify it. Okay? And obedience reifies the abstractions of Christianity. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, all of those wonderful concepts. And obedience turns them from concepts into the real world. It's the bridge between the abstract and the real world. Because until then, it's a principle. But when you behave, when you act, it becomes tangible in reality. And obedience is that bridge. Turn over to John 14, if you would. Bless you. You just like blessing. Bless you again. So just isolate in your mind. Answer this question internally. You don't have to say it out loud. Just internally. How do you know if you love Jesus? How do you know if you love Jesus? And how do you know if you love someone? How do you know if you love someone? How do you know if you love Jesus?
I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about Jew?
Sorry. Had to say that. Look here. Verse 14. We will get this. Chapter 14, verse 15. Somebody, stand and deliver. Would you do a walk? No? Somebody, stand and deliver. Verse 14. Good. Once again. Yeah, do it, brother. Let's interpret that for a moment. If you love me, be healthy. Do it. Do what's considered and appropriate. If you love me, keep my commands. Let's look down a little bit further, because I'm not sure if that was clear. Verse 21, somebody stand and deliver. Come on. Verse 21. Come on. Do it, brother.
Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me.
Keep going.
And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him.
Okay. He who has my commands and keeps them, he it is that loves me. I have warm affection toward the Lord. Yeah, that's nice. That's not love. I have great regard for the Lord. And the Lord says, prove it. Lord, prove it. That doesn't mean sing louder. It means do what I told you. Somebody else. Let's see. Come on down. How about verse 31? Somebody read that one. Now, that interpretation, Pentecostals interpretation. Come on.
But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go.
Note that Jesus' criterion is nothing that he doesn't apply to himself. He says, how does anyone know that I love the Father?
They know because I do what the Father has commanded me. Doing it. Verse 23. Somebody read verse 23.
If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him.
Somebody read 24. Who was going to read over here? Verse 24. Do it, Jan. Oh, go, Jasmine. How do you know if you don't love Jesus? Huh? Don't keep his words. I love you so much. How come you're doing that? I love you so much. Yeah, like the little kid with the chocolate all over. But I did keep your rules. I haven't eaten any more chocolate. If you love me, if you don't love me, go home. No, but see, it's easy. It's not that difficult, but see, we like to make it complicated because when it's complicated and muddy, we can work the margins. And we can put ourselves in the driver's seat, keep it all nice, gray, and muddy, and then we can work what we want out of it. That's just our nature. It's just our nature. Turn over, if you would, to Matthew, chapter 3. Matthew, chapter 3.
Can I add something?
Yeah, Walker.
Yes. Back in the 1800s and earlier Christianity, they distorted the word of God. So they manipulated people. So he's absolutely right. You're keeping his commandments. And that's the most important thing. You got the two commandments right to keep. But that's where the problem was with the church for me, was they distorted the information.
Bummer.
And so they control people without understanding of the commandments that Jesus left us.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, see, because the goal...
They knew all men was created equal.
Yeah.
They had slaves.
Yeah. Bless the Lord, brother. That's cool. It's good to have you here. It's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, because the goal is to perform, to execute the command without distortion.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, imagine if you got a 3D printer and you're going to, right, let's see, I want a bust of my daughter. Nice 3D, give it the 3D, and it says, you meant Ridge. Like, cool bust and all, but I wanted a bust of Kim. I didn't want Ridge. Oh, no, you wanted Ridge. I'm just going to distort it and put what I want there. That's that autocorrect thing. Matthew 3. Listen, look at this. Jesus, verse 13. Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me? Is John right? Yeah. Which one's perfect? Jesus. Who's the highest representative of God? Jesus. John says, this is all backward, man. I'm subordinate. You're superior. You don't need baptism for the sins, nothing like that. And Jesus says, what? Just do it. Permitted this time, for in this way it's fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. You just got to do this. Never answers the question, never addresses the objection. John thinks he knows better, and Jesus goes,
look, buddy, this is about you and me doing what the Father told us. And this, if I got to look like a sinner, I'll do it. It doesn't make sense. That's the point. We start the ministry by doing something that doesn't make sense. Turn over to Luke, please. Chapter 9. Chapter 9. Verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I'll follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head." Jesus, by the way, was a homeless guy. As was the Buddha, as was Muhammad, as was Gandhi. Anyway, and Alexander the Great. Okay. He said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." He said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. As for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I'll follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those at home." And Jesus said to him, "No one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." See, each one has this little condition, like, I'm just going to change a little bit of it. I'm going to do most of what you want, but I'm going to change this a little bit. And that's how we play the game. Think of something that the Lord has convicted you of. Put in your heart sometime. Something that the Lord has said, you know what? I really want. Shall we do a simple one? Don't lie.
You think this makes me look fat?
No. Lord, permit me first to take care of courtesy. Then I'll obey you. Don't steal, even from the government.
Yeah, but those were tips, kind of.
Yeah, but a ream of paper, that's not. Permit me first to take care of my pragmatics, and then I will obey you, Lord. Like, that's not how it works. But it's only
it's a stapler.
Yeah? Don't take the stapler.
It's only a stapler.
Don't take the stapler. You realize the smallest thing you steal is how much you measure your integrity by? Small just makes it more petty. Over to Luke 6, please. Luke 6. Verse 43. For there's no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand, a bad tree which produces good fruit. Never mind us with the fruit and the stapler going. No, it has to grow from it. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men don't gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. For the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what's good. Don't slander. Yeah, but they're really a jerk. And I'm offended. Don't gossip.
That's more like prayer request.
I really want you to pray about so-and-so, would you? Do you really? Okay, let's pray right now. No, first I got to tell you why. No, let's just pray. Evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what's evil, for his mouth speaks that from that which fills his heart. Everybody, can you read the next line together? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? Simple. Concept, lordship of Christ, servanthood of people. How does it become more than a concept? It's what you do. Do you obey or do you not obey? That's what, you know, WWJD, what would Jesus demand? Because we want to play what would Jesus do? And hypothesize a Jesus that we construct out of our own ideations and then do that Jesus that we have projected. Better yet, what would Jesus demand? What did he actually say to do? Do that. Do that and you'll be obeying. Otherwise, it's endless spooling or claiming that we are finished when we are not. See, the big thing is that our natures need the practice of compliance. Because we are stiff-necked and willful people. We like having our own way.
At least all of you do.
Right? We're stiff-necked, we're stubborn, we like our opinions, and we will stick with them. We will push those opinions. And Jesus says, you know, it's good practice for you just to be compliant. It makes you flexible. It makes you responsive to me. It makes you listen to the Holy Spirit to do silly things that you don't understand. Just obey commands. And the irony, here's the killer. The irony is that our weak wills need that help. How many of you would go through your finances every year and do a yearly accounting of them if you didn't have to file taxes?
It's a good principle. I would love to do that.
Yeah, but then when the government says, you better do it, it's like, I don't want to get, and we put it off and put it off and put it off, and then we get the little notice that says,
you better get around to this.
Like, okay, I will do it. It's like having a trainer. Give me three more.
I'm tired today.
But when, give me three more. Somehow when somebody says, do it or else, we can summon ourselves when we couldn't summon ourselves before. And the Lord does us a favor by demanding righteousness. I think righteousness would be a great idea. He says, how about if I force you? Okay, I will. And now I can do it when I couldn't do it just because it seemed like a good idea. And he actually adds his will by command to ours and does us a favor so that we can become who we longed to be and could not be without his command. And we keep thinking that his commands and his demand for obedience is somehow, it's the man pushing us down and it's the man pushing us up. Just going, let me push you forward. See, there's a reason that I demand from my students that they print it out. Because I went to school for this many years. And I know what it's like to put a paper off, and then flail at the end with a minute to go and send, poof, right? And turn in garbage. And I know if there's going to be that thing of there's a line, I don't know how long the line is going to be, I better plan ahead and I better do my work well. I'm going to give you that little push. I'm going to tell you, I don't allow late papers. I don't accept them. I will turn it away if you turn it into me 2 minutes late physically in my grubby little palm. I will mark you down if you come in late. Right?
You will come into class on time.
Because I know if you show up to court late, you are going to lose your kids. And I want to build that in them. Not just Kylo Ren and anthropology. Our natures need it. Here's the thing. God has an agenda. He wants to print the image of his son in this world. He wants to print the face of Jesus. And he wants to print it on us. But he expects our compliance in order to have that happen. And we can't distort it along the way. We need to actually comply for that to be printed in the world. And if you don't know how, just look at the standing orders. There's a couple of thousand pages of them. You can just go, gee, it's pretty simple. I'm not supposed to take revenge. Okay, I'm not going to take revenge. In other words, the lesson for today is do what you know to do. That's obedience. Do what you know to do. Don't fudge it. Don't hedge it. Don't compromise it. Don't twist it. Don't turn it into anything else. Don't add, subtract, multiply, divide, square root, anything. Just do what you know to do and know what you do. Do what you know and know what you do. Pay attention to whether or not you're obeying. Ask yourself at any given moment, am I doing this out of compliance with Jesus, or is my own will getting up in there and causing me to put my ideas into it, distort it, fudge it, justify it, rationalize it, any of those things? Do what you know and know what you do. John 13, please. Another moment of interference. Jesus with his disciples, Passover, verse 5. He gets up, he clothes himself in a towel. It says verse 5, then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said, what I do, you don't get now, but you'll understand it later. Jesus said to him, never shall you wash my feet. I printed you a bust of ridge. Jesus answered him, if I don't wash you, you don't have any part with me. And Simon Peter said to him, okay, just like you said, nah. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who has bathed need only to wash his feet. He's completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. He says, look, I gave you an example. Now drop down a little bit further. Says, verse 15, for I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave isn't greater than his master. By the way, yes, that's the kind of obedience the Lord expects from us. Nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. Blessing is a rather abstract concept. If you want to know the blessing of the Lord, if you're wondering, where's the hand of the Lord in my life? Where's the favor of the Lord? Where's the blessing? Where's him establishing me, putting me forward, giving me peace, giving me joy? If you want to be blessed, if you know this stuff, do it. Do it. Follow the Lord. Give your life to him 100%. Read the scripture. Pray. Submit your life to Jesus. And you will be blessed. Withhold from that, and you're going to languish. But give yourself 100% to it, and you will be blessed. If you know these things, do them, and you will be blessed. Do you want the blessing of the Lord? Yes. Know what you do, and do what you know. Let's pray. Lord, you know us. We are some squirrely people. We want to express your image. We want to bridge between what we believe and our behaviors. Please, by your Holy Spirit, print your face in this world through us. We take a moment and we release our wills to you. We bow. We say, Lord, we will obey, help our disobedience. We resolve, we want to do what you want at all costs, without distortion, without compromise. You are our Lord, and we say Jesus is Lord in this world. In your name, Lord Jesus, to your glory, amen.